Our first scripture reading is from John 12, 12 through 19. Listen to the word of God. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Well, I'm glad you're all sitting, because when I looked out when I started reading, you were all standing. I need to tell you a little story, and I'm going to tell you a bunch of little short stories today. But we had a staff meeting this week, and I had already completed my sermon a couple of weeks ago, and I had been practicing it. And I knew it may raise some eyebrows calling it Plastic Dashboard Jesus. But then Pastor Chris, I told him, I don't really feel comfortable preaching to a group of people wearing a t-shirt and shorts. And I said, maybe I should just wear dress pants, a dress shirt, and a tie, you know, skip the jacket. And he said, "Oh no, you're going to wear a t-shirt and shorts, because I'm also wearing flip-flops." So you always listen to your senior pastor. But I knew I had hit strike three when I looked at the pew Bibles, and instead of saying Jesus came in on a colt, it said Jesus came in on an ass. And I thought, that's just too much. But here we go. A few weeks ago when I preached, I told you about a neighbor across the street, Terry, that our mothers had agreed that we could go to the corner store about five blocks away together as long as we were there for each other. Well, I have to tell you another story about her family. One of the things that I did to earn money for college when I was in my probably late elementary school through high school, I had a paper route. I cut five people's lawns, and I also washed cars and waxed them. And so our neighbors across the street, Terry's parents, hired me on a weekly basis to wash their car, vacuum it out, and to clean the windows on it with Windex. And you know, seeing their car from across the street, I noticed that there was something on the dashboard. But it wasn't until I actually got in their car and started cleaning the windows that I realized they had two little statues on their dashboard. One was an ivory-colored one of Jesus, and that was the larger one. And then they had a smaller one, multicolored pinks and blues and whites, and it was Mary. And being a good Protestant boy, I didn't really realize why they had these statues on their dashboard. So Terry's younger brother, Mark, I asked him one day, "Why do your parents have these statues on their dashboard?" And so he went on to explain to me that the reason his father, and his father was the one who picked the Jesus statue, the reason his father had that on the dashboard was his father was an impatient man. And many times when he'd get stuck in traffic jams or whatever, he would pray to Jesus to get him out of this. So I kind of imagined this Jesus as being like a joystick or something that you would pull and the car would get hydraulics and just be able to drive over cars and around cars to get out of traffic jams. And I remember talking to Terry about the Mary statue, and she said, well, actually her mother had picked that because her mother, many times when she went shopping at a local mall or a grocery store, she would pray to Mary to give her a close parking spot, close to the front door. Now, probably many of you know that I went to Edsel Ford, and Edsel Ford had a great humanities program. And one of the things that one of my English teachers did was she would share different poems. And one day she shared a poem with us. Actually, it was the lyrics to a song. And it was called Plastic Dashboard Jesus. And I did a little research on this, and I found out that this was would it be a parody where you take something and you change the words? Is that the correct word that I'm looking for? So basically, it was originally written in the 1940s for a religious radio program. And I think the first couple lines went something like, if it's raining or it freezes, I'd like to think about falling into the arms of my Jesus. But a couple of Protestants decided to take that song, and as a protest to what the Catholic Church was doing during that time period, they were making many trinkets and icons and stuff, and they were having them manufactured by third world countries. And quite frankly, these were little pieces of junk. And so they, as a protest, they came up and they took that same melody and they changed the words to it. And it went something like, if it's raining or it's freezing, I look at my dashboard Jesus or something like that, or I look toward my dashboard Jesus. So the reason I'm telling you this is that people tend to paint a picture, portray Jesus the way they want to view him. And I created some artwork. I call it artwork. You may call it junk. But anyway, the first painting that we have up here is the way the crowd saw Jesus. They were looking for a Messiah with a sword, and we'll get more into that. They were looking at somebody who would restore the Jews to their rightful place because, of course, they were ruled by Rome. And I was thinking about this. This past Sunday was Father's Day, but it was also Lynn and my 29th wedding anniversary. And thank you. And the last few weeks, actually, the last few months, on Saturday mornings before Converge and Sunday after church, Dava and I have been doing a number of yard cleanups. And Lynn said, absolutely, Father's Day on our anniversary, you and Dava will do no yard cleanup. I've got something planned for us. And so what we were going to do was go over to Greenfield Village to the Motor Muster. And we were doing it for two reasons. First of all, just something fun to do as a couple. And actually, our daughter and son came with us, so it was as a family. But we were also doing it to support Alyssa's boyfriend's mother and sister, who each had a classic car in the Motor Muster. The mother had, I believe, a 75 Corvette, a 1975 Corvette, and the sister had a Karmann Ghia. And for any of you who grew up in the 70s, 80s, you'll know that Volkswagen had the Karmann Ghia kind of as its two-seater sports car. So we saw many beautifully restored cars, cars that were probably in better condition than when they came out of the showroom. Also, there are many organizations that would like to restore things as they once were. I think I told you about a church that did an event called Slop Fest. And if you remember, what they did is they had a piece of property, much like we do, at the end of the parking lot. And they had the local fire department come out and soak this field each day for maybe a couple of weeks until it was a field of mud. And then they would let the high school graduates come and kind of like a giant slip and slide, they would just float through the mud. And some of the people in the church really wanted to keep this event going because the church had done it for about 20 years. And but, you know, times changed. There were less kids involved, high school seniors. And quite frankly, they didn't have the volunteer base to keep it, so they let it go. Some other organizations, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts of America, both of our children were involved in those organizations, and they're great organizations. But as times change, kids get involved in different programs, we know that the participation has gone down in that. And something even closer to home, and I know Becky was involved in the decision, we realized here at First Pres that our Vacation Bible School each year seemed to be getting smaller and smaller, participation-wise. We were putting a lot of time and effort into the program, but Becky and a group of educators decided that we needed to do something different. So as Pastor Chris explained, we are now doing a mission project in June, in July, and in August to take the place of that. Now, the next picture we have up here is kind of a celebrity glitzy Jesus symbol. That's an Emmy. And I need to tell you guys about a story about the master's degree that I'm working on, and I think I've talked to you about this before, but I'm doing it through the Dubuque Theological Seminary, which is in Iowa, and as you can tell, I'm not in Iowa, so I am taking many of the classes online. And I took the fall semester online, but one of the requirements of going to Dubuque is you have to be on campus twice a year. So they have a winter intensive and they have a summer intensive. So after watching my professors on the screen of my computer and taking these classes, I went up there last January, and we started out by meeting in the narthex, the group of online people meeting in the narthex of a chapel before worship. And I looked across the room, and sure enough, I saw my advisor, who was one of my professors. And it was like seeing a movie star, because I had only seen him on screen before this. And so I went over to him, and I said, Professor James, I'm Mike Hoffman. I'm one of your long-distance students. And Dubuque is a small enough theological seminary that he knew me, so that was a good thing. Now, if you've been over to Fairlane Town Center in the last few weeks, I go over there occasionally when the weather's bad or if it's really hot outside to do some walking. And I've noticed that they have a number of kiosks around the mall, and they're basically for people to sign up to be in a talent show that they are having at the mall. And I'm sure once they get your name and address and telephone number, it's more than a talent show. I'm sure they're looking at ways to get people to pay to take modeling or singing lessons or whatever. And the other day I was over at the Fairlane Mall and I realized that they had cleared out one of the seating sections, or one of the sitting sections, a section that they normally have Santa Claus around Christmas in his whole village, or they have the Easter Bunny and the Easter Village. And they had it completely cleared out, and they had a stage and a runway, and they had lights and speakers, and there were a bunch of people lined up. So I realized that they were getting ready for this talent search. Now, this morning in the adult class, we touched on talking about the movie The Passion. And any of you who have ever seen that movie know that there's one part where Jesus is being jockeyed from one leader to another, hoping that the other leader would judge Jesus. And if you remember Herod in that movie, Herod was portrayed as kind of a beefy Lou Reed. You know, he had eye makeup on and had a really bad wig. Actually, when Jesus came into the room, he adjusted his wig three or four times. And Herod did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He did not believe he was the King of the Jews. Herod wanted to see his celebrity side, and he wanted Jesus to do a miracle. So when you think about it, many times we view Jesus in our own ways. We may view him as prosperity Jesus. You know, pray to him that, you know, that Mercedes-Benz and those car keys will be by the back door. Maybe we view him as a Tylenol Jesus, somebody that'll take away our pain. Maybe we view him as not as a Thy will be done, but as my will be done, Jesus. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that your darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become children of the light." After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. Although he had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And so they could not believe, because Isaiah also said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so that they may not look with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke about him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God. Then Jesus cried aloud, Whoever believes in me, not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in the darkness. I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. On the last day, the word that I have spoken will serve as judge. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak. And I know what this command, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. When I speak, therefore I speak just as the Father has told me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So now, after talking about how the world saw Jesus, we are going to talk about how Jesus sees himself counterculturally in two different ways. And I've already read that. I've got something else I'm going to read to you in a little bit. So we talk about the final sacrifice, the three nails over here. And this reminds me of sports. When I coach soccer, the one thing I would always tell kids is to sacrifice for the team. You know, sacrifice your time by coming to practices, sacrifice your body. I think the one player on the team that I feel, at least on a soccer team, sacrifices the most is the goalkeeper. I actually worked with a coach who said to be a goalkeeper, you need to be a little bit crazy, and I believe him. Also in the military, I have an uncle that I never met, my mother's oldest brother, Richard. And the story I've been told that he re-enlisted. He was in Korea, and he re-enlisted in the Army, and he was a battalion leader, and at one point he had his men in a bunker, and a hand grenade was thrown in, and to sacrifice himself for his group, he jumped on the hand grenade, and of course that killed him. And the final sacrifice that we have up here is Jesus taking our place when we were the ones who deserved to die because of our sin. He took our place. And the final picture is the servant, trainer, teacher, model, foot washer. Some of you belong to a gym, and I know some of you have trainers that work with you on a daily basis. And some of you have trainers that you go to when you need extra advice. And you know those trainers are tough on you. They are teachers and they are models. Driver's education. I remember when I was in high school, at Edsel Ford. I took a driver's ed, and I'm sure things have really changed a lot in driver's ed, because they used to show us movies that would absolutely terrify us. You know, pictures of people after an accident who did not wear a seatbelt. I mean, these were horrific. Nowadays, they'd never get away showing these. And then finally, we have the Herald of the Kingdom of God. And I'd like to read for you out of Luke 3. John said to the crowds that came to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." So we need to see Jesus as he really was, the Jesus that came to earth. He is the presenter and the gift of salvation and eternal life, and he is also the one who ushered in the kingdom of God, and we likewise should join up with him and continue that. Let us live each day in active service, knowing that these two facts are truth. Amen.